The American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, 5th edition, has arrived. The previous edition was published in 2000. As you'd expect, our language has seen some changes. The 5th edition contains thousands of new words. It's also available as an app for digital devices, and there's a website, too. Steve Kleinedler is executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionary. Steve, it's good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm doing very well this afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. So more than 10,000 new words and senses. Would you like to share a couple of them with us?
Absolutely. We have new words and senses coming from a wide array of areas, from the sciences, from pop culture. Some of the scientific terms that we've been discussing include the word fracking, which is a shortening for hydraulic fracturing, which is the process of extracting oil or gas from underneath dense rock by injecting water and sand and chemicals under high pressure. Obviously, this process has been around for a while, but because it's been in the news so much in the past few years, we felt it was worthy of inclusion. We have all kinds of new food terms coming from various cultures from across the world. For example, the pakora, the fritters from South Asian cuisine, or ciabatta, the crusty bread loaves from Italian cuisine.
How long does it take for a word to really catch on?
It depends on the kind of word. There are some words that will be entered almost immediately because they have, for example, the new elements that are discovered. Once the group of scientists responsible for naming a new element comes to a decision, copernicium, darmstadtium, roentgenium, well, that's that. Then it's then that's what it is. It's it is what it is, so you can be pretty certain that that's what it is, and you can put it in right away. Other items, it depends on how widespread and how many different groups around the company. Is it confined to, say, the sport of golfing, or is it more wide-ranging? Something like hydraulic fracturing or fracking is obviously one of hundreds, if not thousands, of technological processes, but because this one was so prominent and in the news, we felt it was worth entering. Another good example of that, there are obviously hundreds of thousands of chemical compounds, and you can't list that many of them. We entered bisphenol A, which you might recall from the news cycles a few years ago, as being a suspected carcinogen that was used in resins and plastics, particularly in bottles that runners and joggers and bikers use. Because of its prominence in the news, it then becomes something worth entering.
Yeah. How about words like crowdsourcing or flash mob?
Yes. There are a lot of words taken from the social terminology arising from the social networking. Tweet, for example, is another one. And then you have to make a judgment call as to whether or not you think something has staying power, which can be pretty tricky. I mean, a few years ago, MySpace was, before Facebook took off, was the social networking leader, it seemed. And so the question of, do you want to use terminology that is specific to a specific site? Generally not, but something like tweet, which has been cited as factors in revolutions, as in Iran and throughout the Middle East and whatnot, starts being, when a word starts being used by news agencies without defining what it means, a lot of times news agencies will refer to a word and then immediately gloss it to explain what it means. But once they stop glossing it and they stop telling you what it means as they use it, that's often a good indication that it's worthy of inclusion.
Mm. Now, as somebody who loves words, what's it like when you hear a new word or a new expression for the first time?
Usually, when they catch my ear, the other editors or I will take note of it, and put it down in a file somewhere and keep track of it. I suppose it's kind of like, you know, asking a carpenter what they do when a new type of nail comes on the market. I don't know. It happens a lot. It's part of the job.
Yeah. I've never thought of words as nails, but they can be, can't they? Certainly.
Yes. It's an apt metaphor.
Yes, it is. It is. I like it very much. So has it happened recently that you've heard something new?
Oh, boy. It happens all the time, and I'm certain there were a couple within the last week. Of course, what they are right now, I can't even begin to tell you off the top of my head.
Okay, fair enough. Lots of words out there swirling around. Well, the dictionary arrived here with a press kit, and on the front page there was a question asked in uppercase bold lettering, will this be the last print dictionary ever made? And I hope so. Do print dictionaries continue to appeal to us? They do to me. Why?
For many people, print dictionaries provide you with a visceral experience of actually. For me, especially when I was younger, the discovery that you get by looking up something and stumbling upon items that you didn't expect to see and looking it up, items that are adjacent on the page or on the facing page or a piece of art or a chart, you can easily get lost into a print book the way that you can't electronically. And, of course, we make the product available both in print, also electronically, whether we have a free website of just the definitions at ahdictionary.com, the entire dictionary, including the notes and the usage and the etymologies, are included in the electronic apps that are available for the iPhone or the Android system. So different people want to access it different way. We make that possible. But I think for a lot of people, there's still a special place on their shelves for an actual print edition.
Yeah. How similar or different is the app from the print format?
The two apps are very similar. They include all of the material in the book, including all of the art, all of the notes, all of the etymologies, all the front matter. The difference being, of course, you're looking at one entry at a time, as opposed to looking at an entry within a page. So the way you would go about looking up a word and the way you would jump around is a little different. Content-wise, it's all there. The free website only includes the definitions without any of the bells and whistles, without any of the notes, without any of the etymologies that are so fascinating. The etymologist for this book did a phenomenal job of researching the histories of words. Really in-depth, going back where possible to a word's Indo-European roots.
Yeah. We only have a minute left, and I wanted to ask you about the usage panel, this huge group of people that collaborated on this dictionary. Tell us just a little bit about them.
Since the American Heritage Dictionary first started in the 60s, the editorial staff has asked people who work in journalism, who teach linguistics or English, poets, writers, people who use words as a living, for their opinions on pronunciations, on the acceptability of certain words. Over time, as the older members pass on, we replace them with newer people. We've recently just added another dozen people on. And every year we survey them on a wide range of issues, and their responses become the basis for our usage notes.
Mm. What a remarkable endeavor. Steve, thank you very much for talking with me this afternoon.
It was a pleasure to be on, and I'd be happy to stop by any time.
Okay, thanks very much. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Steve Kleinedler is executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionaries. The American Heritage Dictionary 5th edition is now available in print and as an app. There's also a website, www.ahdictionary.com, and another website, www.youareyourwords.com. The American Heritage Dictionary is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt.